Hi, Sandra. I would like to talk a bit about living and dying by reflex. It is a bit of a macabre story because so much of what we experience around us on the planet in humanity is simply by a lack of education in the family, in schools, by religions, by the media. There is this fixation on things as they are, how creation as a thing rather than creation as a process, and also reality as a thing, and people in a way being caught up in it as if reality is a prison, instead of reality being a realization and Earth being a platform for creation, essentially paradise. And by people getting caught up in false beliefs, and also by people being caught up in conditioned behavior, reflex behavior, they start to live a hell. And as you know, in my approach, hell simply means a closed system. A purgatory is the lock on that closed system. A closed system is always separated from an open system. And that requires energy, and that energy is in our body emotion in the same way as if you place a freezer somewhere, it needs an engine to keep that circulation going. So around every hell there is a purgatory, and when the freezer turns on, you hear that noise come up and you see the electricity dim in the environment, so you see that the environment is changed by what happens in that freezer. And in that same way, you can say that if we have something locked away in our body, or a reflex, and the reflex turns on, then there will be an effect, a ripple into the environment and into the rest of reality. So in the traditional term, you would say that in the devil, in the hell, a devil broke loose, and the breaking loose, the noise of the breaking loose, is the emotional charge. So essentially, that is simply a principle that we have in our life. We have reflexes, also called hell. The reflexes are connected to convictions with an emotional charge, also called purgatory. They are based on conditions or decisions that we took. And then when they activate, that's called a devil. And what I want to tell in this story is that when we understand this dynamic of the reflexes, we also understand this principle of the devils, and then we can also understand that we need to actually be able to change our reflexes, and that requires that we are able to change our conditioning, which are also our convictions, and that means that we need to change our decisions. So in the exploration of this topic, I would like to guide us from the principle of freedom of choice and the creation of reflexes, because by understanding that, we can then also understand how we go from consciousness to out of conscious. That also means that we go from things that we can actually think about to things which are totally unthinkable or unthinkable or unthought. But it also helps us understand how we can end up being lived by reflexes. And being lived by reflexes, that's actually the key concept of this whole essay, of this whole exploration, because with the understanding that by free choice we can create our own hell is something which people don't understand. They actually deny it. They don't appreciate it and thus do not correct it. And then, as said, in the family, they don't learn to correct it. Churches have been advocating that. They've been talking about it, but never helped people understand that reflexes or that hell are reflexes, and that reflexes are based on beliefs, false beliefs, too. And as a result, people are then caught up in being lived by reflexes. And that's the other part of the title of the story, that they actually can die by their reflexes. And that's simply because when people create reflexes, they create them in a specific situation. So they're conditional on specific context. But when the context changes, the conditions change, and it can happen that the reflexes are then triggered by false conditions. And as a result, they have become false reflexes. That the beliefs have become false beliefs. And when people then live by their reflexes, and that's actually the key to the whole story, that so much of what we do is by reflex action, then if people are being lived by false reflexes, false beliefs, then their reflex action can actually kill them. They can kill them, they can kill others, because by their reflexes they're stuck in belief. They get conflicts in belief, which I've been talking about in the topic of Vetico. Vindago is the other term for that. So when people get stuck in their beliefs, it is because they cannot edit their reflexes. So the core of this story is that life turns into hell and living turns into dying if people create reflexes which are dysfunctional, which are actually backfiring, and people actually are killed by their reflexes. So after this introduction, let me now step through the different parts of the story. First, the story of freedom of choice. Second, the story of what reflexes do for us and how reflexes help us. Then the part of where reflexes start to backfire and the angels turn into devils, and love turns into hate, simply because the reflexes are disconnected from the life that we're in, and there's nobody there to fix it. And then to come to the fourth part of the story, that if our reflexes can kill us, then it is evident that it is essential that we need to be able to eliminate reflexes which do not work. In another terminology, we have to face our own devils, which were our own creation, because we created the reflexes. We created the conviction by which the reflexes are upheld. And so we must face our fears, we must face our demons, we must face our reflexes and simply realize that we created reflexes and we need to uncreate them. And we can create and uncreate reflexes for the simple reason that we have freedom of choice. By freedom of choice, we can do the opposite of what the conditions seem to propose. And we can use freedom of choice because we are God creatures. We are God beings, God spelling literally generating, operating, destroy. How we can create, maintain, and eliminate decisions, convictions, and reflexes. So by freedom of choice, we actually sculpt the reality that we experience. And if it doesn't work, we need to fix it. So if we have a conflict with ourselves, we need to fix it. If we have a conflict with each other, we need to look for the demon the reflex, the conviction, the decision, which was not correct. We cannot change the reflexes in others, but we can change the counterpart of that reflex within us. If somebody triggers us, then we have a trigger. If something gets activated within us, it is because there's something in us that we have denied, which is under the carpet, painted in a corner. We have our own devil in our own little hell within us. When we look for that devil, when we meet up with that devil, we can just see that there is a scared little something trying to reach out to get out of that prison, out of that fear state, out of that memory. And once we resolve that, we can release that trauma and heal that trauma, and we no longer have a trigger where somebody else can trigger us. So from that moment on, we won't be pressurized or pressured by the devil in others, because the devil in the other will be facing the angel within us. In us, we can see that that what was hurt in the other can be healed, same as that what was hurt in us had been healed. So that is where we then come to the key of the realization that the reflexes that kill us can be healed, they can be transformed, they can be taken out of their hell, placed in their proper place, so that they can do what they do well, in a way which works well. And essentially, it simply means that the reflex which was created in a specific condition needs to be reconditioned when the conditions change. And that is the whole key of understanding the story of living and dying by reflex. In changing conditions, we must recondition the conditions by which the reflexes are activated. We can only do that by operating the principle of freedom of choice. And that is why that's where we need to start with the story. So let's start with the first step of this understanding of the cure for being killed by your own reflexes and being killed by the reflexes of others. So this is the story of eliminating conflict and eliminating war. Also eliminating disease and eliminating poverty. The starting point is freedom of choice. I have talked about that separately, so I will just summarize here what was told in that other story. We all have freedom of choice for the simple reason that we have consciousness, and consciousness is an experience within us of the quantum field, the universal quantum field around us. Tetrionics explains how the quantum field operates by quantum change, which is also called quantum fluctuation. And what we have within us is that we, through our consciousness, can interplay with that quantum field. We can change the quantum, which simply means that we can repolarize the charge of a quantum. As a result, the quantum field around that quantum will repolarize to the other polarity, and it is in that way that we can change the polarity of an interface. People call that the boundary, and the dynamic by which that we change that interface is called a decision. So in the same way that the ovum gets polarized by the sperm and becomes unapproachable for other sperm, then we take a decision. When we take a decision, we electrically charge our membrane, as a result of which we shut off the environment in a specific way, lock in an internal environment in a specific way, and by that decision, we polarize the boundary as a result of which externally we have the dynamic of fight and flight. Internally we have fear and faint, because that is now the way we can adopt and adapt the circumstances around us. By taking a decision, we take an electromagnetic change in the quantum field, we change the electromagnetic polarization of our boundary, we repolarize ourselves in our environment, and then create the conditions in which we then explore our experience of life from then on. That exploration of life from then on is what we call a conviction, because we have, as Dan Winter says, we have taken a bite of the apple and now we need to eat it. And so by having taken that decision, which takes place in the brain at the electromagnetic level of the hypophysis, the neurons and the hormones then control how the organs in our body will activate or inactivate. So basically those are the reins by which the gods of the Olympus within us redefine how we relate to the environment and how we can digest that experience of life which by our decision we have focused on. We have detached ourselves from one thing, we've attached ourselves to the other thing. As the Buddhists say, by your involvement you will have your experience. So that experience is then what determines our internal climate, our internal realization, our internal agenda. And that fires up or that slows down the body in us. And by our conviction, we then have our little bubble of our belief in which we navigate the world around us and from which we experience the world around us. And I now recently got a much deeper understanding of that, because I now also understand that for psychopaths, they do exactly the same, and they experience the world around us and the interaction with others around them from a traumatic experience. So it is fueled by the charge of their experience. It is locked in with the pain of that experience. So they look for that and they create that, because that is basically how they got locked into their convictions, into their beliefs, and cannot see it otherwise but that. And the other people do exactly the same, but it is not based on a traumatic experience, but on a, let's say, a non-traumatic experience, an explorative experience. So the people who are operating their conviction from an identification with a trauma, they live in a little hell and act as devils. And the people who are not locked in a traumatic experience, they are both open to the experience of the universe. Essentially, that makes them potentially angelic and operating from feeling and operating in love. Once that conviction has been put in place, it determines the internal climate on which the body cells act. It's the bath within which they operate and from which they then become the expression. And that expression is then acted out by the cells by fundamental principles in what we call the conduct or the behavior or the reflex behavior. So the dynamic of freedom of choice is very simple. In the pineal gland, in the light field, which is immersed in the quantum field of the universe, we experience what is. And the pineal gland, like a joystick, we can use that to identify this as identify with something. That then leads to a decision in the electromagnetic domain with the neurons and the hormones regulating the organ glands from the hypophysis. The organs then at their level orchestrate the chemistry of the conviction, the belief that we hold, And that's a psychophysiological and also a psychosomatic stance. It's a bubble of a realization which we then travel in. And then that becomes what the body carries and carries out. And that is also what people act on and act out. So that was the first part of the story of the dynamic of freedom of choice, which connects the choice in the light domain, the decision in the electromagnetic domain, the conviction in the chemical domain, and the behavior in the physical domain. With that understanding, we can then look more closely at the kind of behavior and nature of the reflex behavior. It is evident that we created the reflex by the decisions which we took. In the setting as we experienced it, there might be different possible decisions, and everybody does that differently, and every culture does that differently. And people in families and in groups, they have different ways in which they play that game of identification. Identification is that engineering of decision taking. And in legal system, they try to impose how people can take decision by laws. They basically say you can take that decision, you cannot take that decision. And evidently, living in that country with those laws was a decision. The people within that country creating those laws was a decision. So if you create a decision which tells you what decisions you can create, you're actually limiting your capacity to create decisions, which means that your decisions are created from your convictions instead of from your freedom of choice. And so by changing the decision-taking to taking decisions from convictions actually means that the capacity to create decisions is coming from hell rather than from heaven. Heaven being the freedom of choice side of the story, hell being the reflex side of the story. With that understanding that you can then have decisions based on convictions or decisions based on choice, you can see how important it is to know that you take decisions, what decisions you take, and that you do not have others take decisions for you, or that you have convictions of others take decisions for you, or that you have your own convictions take decisions for you. That is actually where you then step into hell. And hell simply means that you surrender freedom of choice. You sold your soul. A soul is where you have your capacity to take decisions with freedom of choice. And when you no longer have freedom of choice to take decisions, you stepped into enslavement, in slavery. And that is the turning point between, say, living an angelic life or living a diabolic life. If you are no longer aware that your decisions are yours and that your life is yours and that other people in their body live their life just as if, it, as in your body, you live your life. But that means that your decisions need to be your own, their decisions need to be their own. And in the dynamics of freedom of choice, that is anchored in four principles. The first is we all have freedom of choice. The second is respect. We all need to respect that others have freedom of choice. The third is responsibility. We all need to be able to respond to the choices that we made, which means that we need to always be able to undo choices that we made. We always need to be able to undo decisions that we made. We always need to be able to decide on our decisions all the time. So something in us needs to be alert and needs to be checked on every decision that we took at all times. And so that means that in the dream state, at the alpha brainwave level, we need to recalibrate every decision that we took, always. We can no longer assume that our decision is fixed and our decision is agreed upon, and others need to have been stuck by our decision, because when the circumstances change, then the responsibility requires that we need to change our decision. That also is the case for the fourth level of this dynamic of reliability, that if you took a decision and others based themselves on your decision, when circumstances change, you need to revise that decision. That is not just for other people, but that is also for your own conviction, as I mentioned before, but also for your own reflexes. Reliability means that if you can no longer rely on your reflexes, you need to change them. So in that dynamic of creating reflexes, we need to focus now on that third level of the reflex creation, that reflexes are always conditional. From the story of freedom of choice, you can see that they're conditional, because in the light field you have the choice, then in the electromagnetic you take a decision, create a decision, that's your act of creation. You generate, operate, destroy a decision. That means you need to be able to operate, maintain, and you need to be able to destroy any decision that you take. You need to be free always to redecide on your decisions. That also means that you need to be aware that when you took a decision, you created a condition in yourself, that is the conviction and the belief. But when the conditions around you change, then the conditions inside of you must change as well. So when you move to another culture, or when the climate changes, because you go from summer to winter or the other way around, then in the changing conditions, you need to change your convictions. If your conviction is that you are wearing your t-shirt, then you might need to change that you need to wear a coat, or the other way around. So you always need to be able to calibrate your conditions and calibrate your convictions. And of course, if you live in a society where they try to calibrate your convictions by telling you what to believe, or if they try to create conditions around you by which you become dependent on conditional structures such as laws or structures such as money or such as other constructs, then you need to realize that those societies are not helping you, because they are actually forcing you to live in a hell. They force you to live in conditions which you cannot condition. But as I said at the start of the story, if you live in conditions which you cannot recondition, then you also live in a situation where your reflexes can turn into hell and start to kill you. And actually, if you look at the world around us now, people are being told that the laws tell them how to live, that the money tells them what they're worth, that the media tells them what to do, and that the government knows what there is to know, then we relive that situation where a religious system said that it could tell you what reality is and how you need to live in reality. But the people who know the history of that religious system, that they know that that came out of the slave society, where the slave masters told the slaves what to do. So when that is the case, people have sold their soul to the devil, and essentially that is what the story of Faustus said. I've talked about that separately, that if you buy into the money system, then the bankers determine what is money, what money is worth, and basically determine your worth and what your transactions and interactions can be. So you have stepped into a hell because you've sold your soul by signing with your blood. So signing with your blood is that you now work for money. You spend your life energy for money. And you sold your soul because you surrendered your freedom of choice, because you made your choices dependent on money. So that's really an important understanding, that if you cannot condition your conditions, then you've already started to live in hell. And you can no longer maintain your happiness because you're disconnected from your soul. Your soul is your freedom of choice. And that's what you can see at the moment, that a lot of people feel that they are stressed by life because they experience that they no longer have choices. They call it work pressure, or they call it social pressure, or they call it media pressure. But all of it is but other people tell you what you need to believe. But if you need to believe what somebody else tells you, then you are living in the hell of the story of Faustus. The devil banker, because that's what is represented by Mephistopheles in the story of Faustus, the devil is the banker, then you can no longer control your own life. So in the using of freedom of choice, you need to at every level be aware that your decisions are yours, and that your convictions are yours, and that your convictions and the conditions of the convictions are yours, and you check them. And if the circumstances change and the conditions for your decision changed, then you need to redo and undo your decisions. You need to rip up the contracts which no longer work. You need to shred the convictions which no longer work. You need to surrender your beliefs which no longer work. And actually, Islam means that surrender, that you no longer let your decisions be determined by what your memory says, what your mind says, because your mind serves your memory. And if things are stored in your memory as a conviction or as a belief, and you do not change them, you do not check them, you do not eliminate them when needed, you do not live your God life, because God life means generate, operate, destroy. And that means also that you generate, operate, and destroy your convictions and your beliefs as needed. So then, once you understand that your convictions, your beliefs are conditional, then you can also understand that your reflexes are conditional. And when you look at how you work by your reflexes, then you can also see how much of your life is being lived by reflexes. That's also the reason for the title of this story, Living by Reflex. And in the next part, I'll be talking about the dying by reflex. The living by reflex is simply that you have a choice, you create a decision that creates a conviction, and then you act on that conviction by reflex. It also means that at some point you consciously chose about something, and then once you choose something, the next time you're in that situation, your memory bank will kick in and said, oops, I already have an example of how you did that last time, shall I replay that? And then you need to take a decision. If you reaffirm the decision that you had already, and then if you do that, the reflex will play out accordingly. The next time that situation comes by, the reflex system will check with you. So, well, actually, you already told us that decision we can use. Now let's see if your conviction still stands. Are you convinced that we are doing the right thing with this reflex? And if you step into that reflex, then you affirm that conviction. And by having confirmed that conviction, you have affirmed that reflex. And in that act, you have then created a circumstance that next time that that circumstance comes, you will no longer be asked. The decision will no longer be checked. The conviction will no longer be questioned. And the reflex will act by itself. And once you see that, the conscious thinking often takes a lot of work. But once you have taken a decision, let's say it goes 10 times as fast. With that decision, your conviction, once you can act on from conviction, that goes again 10 times as fast, let's say. And then if you can skip the choosing, the decision and conviction, then the reflex plays out 1,000 times as fast, again 10 times as fast. So the reflex is 10 times faster than you can think, and it no longer is in the conscious, because the choosing is in the conscious, the decision is in the subconscious, the conviction is in the unconscious, and the reflex plays out in the out of conscious. So once you have created the reflex, when you have affirmed the reflex, reaffirmed the reflex and confirmed the reflex, from then on that reflex takes action unthinkingly, unconsciously, in any situation which corresponds with the intent that you had, the action that you had, the circumstance you had, and the outcome that you were looking for. The reflex always has those four components: the intent, the action, the outcome, and the reflex on you, the effect on you. That applies to working reflexes. It also works for dysfunctional reflexes. I'll get to that in a moment. So for now, I just want to remind you that when you clasp your hands, you automatically put the right hand on the left hand or the left hand on the right hand. You don't think about it. When you tie your shoelaces, do that in one specific way. If you try to do a different way, you experience a conflict with your reflex. If you put your hands the other way than you would normally do that, you feel a discomfort, a dis-ease, because your reflex system says, hey, I do it this way, why are you doing it the other way? And this is where you can then get in touch with the nature of the reflex, and the way the reflex can take over, and the reflex often takes over and determines a lot of what you do in your life. So if you look at how many reflexes you have acting for you, then you have this legion of reflexes, and all of them doing what you did in the past, even though the past is no longer here. And so all of these reflexes work for you, but they should be working for you. And at the moment that things don't work in the way they worked, you should eliminate them, should destroy them. But now go back to that feeling of clasping your hands the other way around than you normally do it. You feel that discomfort. As Gurdjieff said, if you have the knife on the right and the fork on the left, put them the other way around and feel what happens within you. Because the reflex system will say, hey, I do it this way, why are you doing it the other way? I need to do it this way, so you now need to do it my way. And a lot of people then get scared and start to do it the way the reflex does it. That's why the Urantia book says, never become the servant of your servant. Your computer program cannot tell you what reality is. Your reflex does not determine how you should live. Your contracts, as you made it, do not determine your reality. You are a creator in creation, and you need to be responsible for your body and your life always. Other people have their body, they can use it to live their life in their way. You need to live your life in your way, and that is only the God way, because you need to generate, operate, destroy reflexes in the way that needs to be done. So at the moment and that you know that you have created all these reflexes, you also need to be aware when those reflexes do not function. So that is where I can now shift in the story to the next level of the story, from living by reflex to dying by reflex. Living by reflex you do unconsciously. You are no longer aware of the amount of reflexes living your life. Your breathing is by reflex. The way you touch is by reflex. The way you look at things is by reflex. The way you speak is by reflex. The tonality of your voice is by reflex. The way you step forward, right foot, left foot, is by reflex. Your dominant side, left, right. Your dominant eye, left, right. Your dominant feeling, all of it is by reflex. And if you do not know that, and if you do not test that, if you do not check that, it will run your life for you. That is living by reflex. But if you live by reflex, you are being lived by reflex. That means you live out of conscious. That is where so many people say the living are dead. Because if you're no longer conscious about what you do, then you're totally out of conscious in what you do. You're comatose while you're living. Some people call it the living dead. Some religions call it the zombies. So all the people who are being lived by their reflexes are running on automatic pilot, but that means that they're not in control, and often they do not know how to get back in control, because at the moment that things go out of control, their reflex systems will bleep all their warning lights and give all these feelings of pain, fear, depression, ultimately running to death. And because people have not learned to recondition their conditions and not learned to eliminate dysfunctional reflexes, they are basically caught up in their own hell. They cannot get out of their hell. They enter in a depression. They don't know how to get out of it. They feel pain, but they don't know how to enter into the pain to get out of it. They go into depression, but do not know how to go into the depression to go out of it, because they don't know how to go into the reflex to discover that the reflex is based on a conviction. They no longer remember the conviction, because it's at a different level of consciousness. The reflex is in the out of conscious. The conviction, the belief, is in the unconscious. They don't know how to get into their unconscious because they don't know how to get to their decision, which is in the subconscious. And they can't get to the subconscious because at the moment that they fall asleep, they are conscious in the outer world, but then when they go into the subconscious, they start to dream, and they're not lucid in their dreaming. They don't edit their dreams. They don't validate their dreams. Somebody comes up in their dream, they don't ask, who are you? What do you represent? What are you trying to tell me? Is there something you're asking from me? And as a result, when at the deeper level, they go into their inner truth, which is basically their convictions, they do not test the devils, they do not test the gods, and ask the same question, who are you? What do you represent? What are you asking? What are you telling me? And then negotiating what they should be doing for you. And in this way, being able to test the convictions and say, well, actually, I believed this at that time, but now it no longer serves me. I can now let this go. And that is how trauma healing takes place. That's how the release of convictions takes place, by simply realizing, why am I believing this? Why do I hold this to be true? Byron Katie is all about that. Is this true? And when you test that so-called truth, you discover it is not true. It's just a conviction because you took a decision because you wanted to test ride something. You wanted to have a specific experience in life. And once you realize that that's the case, at the unconscious level, you can then talk with the gods of the Olympus and you can tell them, okay, that was great fun. And okay, you hold this to be true, but actually, the other gods say that something else is true too. So I don't simply believe you because you say I'm the best God and I'm the most powerful God, because you're not more true than the other gods, and you're certainly not more powerful than all the gods together. So I need you to reunite with the other gods, stop pretending that you're better than the other gods, realize that you're just one god, one organ, one decision, one conviction amongst many. And at this time, I realize that what you're telling me is only valid within that specific situation, of that specific moment that this conviction was created. Once you are aware that you can do that, you can also get rid of the traumatic convictions. And the people who are caught in trauma need to relearn that. But they can only relearn that for the people who are not caught up in that, because they are able to see that their convictions are arbitrary, that they're just relative, that they're something that they created at some point and now it's no longer valid. The people who are caught up in their traumatic experiences are also caught up in the emotional charge of that. They're very limited in what they can do. And in Eastern healthcare, you can actually see that they then describe it as the emotion of a specific organ with a specific charge corresponding to how the other organs are participating on that yes or no. That places it in a specific organ or in a specific deity or in a specific conviction. And that also places it in the organ with a corresponding pathology of the body. But what it is all about is that people have stored something in their memory because they took a decision, because they created a conviction, and that is locked in their memory banks, and that is stored in their body somewhere. So when things have been stored that were traumatic, then they're locked away so far away that people can no longer identify with it. Or the psychopath, they identify with it fully because they live and relive and relive that traumatic experience fully. And as the old story goes, hell is simply that you live your traumatic experiences again and again and again and cannot step out of it. So the way to step out of it is to realize that your conviction is actually something that you created, but that you're the creator still of that conviction. So when anybody tells you it is so, you can always question it. Byron Katie, Katie Byron, and so many others say test your questions. Anytime you're convicted about something, turn the exclamation mark around and you'll see a question mark. And by realizing that, you can always recondition your conditions. And people learn that when they have their dreams, and after the dreams they reflect on their dreams and realize that their dreams are just bubblings of the way they digest their convictions. And so this is where we can then enter fully into this transition from living by reflex to dying by reflex, because living by a reflex works well if your reflexes are functional, but living by reflex becomes deadly if your reflexes are dysfunctional. And then you're no longer living by reflex, you're dying by reflex, because your reflexes tell you that you should identify with something, but it's the wrong way around. That's also the story of Narcissus. Everything is mirror image. The psychopath and the narcissist and sociopath, they are lying because they are disintegrated. They are separated from the environment. What they say is only valid from within their little bubble, and that the only thing they see within their little bubble is their reflection mirrored from their little bubble, their little puddle of Narcissus. And they can no longer look out. They cannot see that for other people it's the other way around. They can no longer see the mutuality, the reciprocity of other people. They're idiots. They are locked in their idios, the Greek word for self, little environment. And puberty is normally the place where people learn that what is true for them, but for other people in their body, in their experience of life, the opposite is true. Because when you look at yourself, you look down vertically and see your uncertainties and the decisions that you can take. When you look at others, you look horizontally, you look at the reflexes that they operate and how they are essentially part dead in what they're doing. When you look at down in yourself, you're alive. When you look at others, you see that they're dead. But when you're caught in false beliefs, it's the other way around. How you believe that you're alive while actually you're locked into dead reflexes. You're lived by out of conscious relivings of past traumatic experiences. But they are no longer connected to the environment. And that's where people then act out their trauma on others. They impose, inflict their trauma on others. That's called vetiko. And they are actually reliving their trauma in themselves. That's hell. And as a result, they, by reflex, from reflex, in reflex, unconscious, from the past, reactivate something that they're locked in the past, and project it on others, which for the others is totally discongruent. If you've ever interacted with somebody who is living from their old trauma, then you find that things just don't fit. It has nothing to do with reality. What they do is always the same. Whatever happens, they behave the same. And then you can see that they are being lived by reflex. In some people, that might be functional. They live by reflex. They have a smiling response. They have an angry response. They have a aloof response. They have a conniver response, whatever. But it's still functional. But at the moment that it is dysfunctional, it rips apart the reality of others because they are mirrored. They are blocked in what they do. Everything is turned around. And suddenly they're caught up in the hell of the other. The other is locked in their hell, basically the Faustian contract. They signed that contract with their blood and sold their soul. They are now being lived by reflex, and they're totally unaware that it is the case. They simply think that they are happy. They're reliving that memory of the past. They have identified with something unlivable. That has become their life, and their life has become limited and focused and restricted by that experience. But as that experience is something traumatic, basically they have become a devil. It is their trauma that is living in through them, out of them, and whatever circumstance takes place, whatever conditions arise, it is that devil that will break out of hell and impose itself on the environment around them. So people like that, they are living hell, but they don't know it because for them, their out of conscious alienated experience is real. They have nothing else to compare it with. It is as if from adult to adolescent to child, they are now back in baby mode in a cradle. Reality is like that. They holler, they cry, whatever happens, and they expect other people to behave accordingly. And that's called the entitlement of the narcissist and the manipulation of the psychopath and the destructive nature of the sociopath. It's simply that they are living reflexes which are incomputable in the environment that they're in for the simple reason that their reflexes come from another time, another space. They're like living in a different dimension, in a different time, in a different space, quite literally. So that is where we then have the core of this understanding of dying by reflex. When people identify with a dysfunctional reflex, for them it is real, for them it is true. For them, it's the other that are idiots because the others do not understand how traumatic, how toxic, how dangerous the situation is that they are living in, because the psychopath, the sociopath, the narcissist are still living in that traumatic memory, which is horrific. And they can't see it otherwise because they are living a memory. It is like a computer who's caught up in a do loop. It just does the same calculation all the time and results in the same action all the time, because that is what the reflex is. The reflex is the action of the computer based on the software of the conviction, which is that dysfunctional program of the computer, which is based on the decision which was taken, which is essentially that the computer is caught up in the do loop and cannot break out of it. So that is then the essence of dying by reflex, that people are living by reflex, which is the case for basically everybody. That's why the religions talked about the living dead, the zombies, and so on. And that's why all the mystic trainings, all the mystery schools, are always talking about the need to come alive, to awake the dreamer, to kill the dead one, to change from living by reflex to questioning your convictions, to having a decision that you can always review your decisions, which essentially means that you switch from living by reflex, the unconscious, which is the equivalent of the body, which for us is just out of conscious material deposited by the cells, the anatomy, to shift from that level of bodily awareness to the physiology, is where in the dream space you know that the cells are communicating with each other, that they maintain the specific conviction, that they maintain that specific internal climate, but that physiology, which is also the psychology, is conditioned by your conditions. Your convictions are conditional, and that in the body you then need to shift from the dream world of, yeah, it's like this and always has been like that, and da-da-da, to that deeper level of where you created your decisions of the unconscious, which is the electromagnetic domain, which is where reality and realization are interchangeable, where the electric of the physicality and the magnetic of the quantum domain are interchangeable, and that your being is part of the universal being, and that your convictions are just things that you decided upon at some time, but you need to be able to reconsider that at every time. And the mystery school training is essentially that you always are conscious of your subconscious, that you always know that in this case, is this what I choose to do? And at that time, your convictions become fluid, and your reflexes become like animals that you can ride. It's actually called riding the dragon. The dragon no longer rapes the virgins and plunders the gold and burns the land. The destructive reflexes no longer have control, but you, accessing Kundalini, which is the dragon, connect to your electromagnetic domain, which is a very high-speed domain of questioning your questions and questioning your decisions. And that puts you at a very high level of vitality, where everything new, everything is different, that is different, is interesting. And that's the important distinction between people dying by reflex and people versus people living by reflex. The people dying by reflex, they enter into emotional state, they feel threatened, they get angry, they start wars, because their reflexes are living their life for them. And if their reflexes cannot have control, then the people are say plundered by their emotions, and they are frenzied by decision taking. They're incapacitated to take decisions. While people who understand what reflexes are, they realize that reflexes, yes, they will signal that things need to be edited by emotions, but when you dive into the emotions, you feel into the emotions, you remember what was going on, you can relive what was going on, you can re-question what was going on, and you can decide that what was going on is not what is going on. You can discern the past versus the present. You can discern hell versus heaven. You come back to the capacity to decide. You know that you're in charge, that you're the God generator of your life in creation, and that you decide how you live, and your reflexes, your demons, your devils, will not tell you how to live. And that you then enter into that hell, approach that devil and say, okay, here you come, now out you come, look around, the circumstances that you knew have changed. You are not a subpersonality telling me what to do because you were still caught in that traumatic memory. You're not an ancestor working through my DNA telling me what to do because you feared something because you couldn't resolve it and I just happened to inherit that. We're now going to do a family constellation. We're now going to reflex reconditioning. We're now going to do whatever ceremony to reactivate your reflex pattern so that you can see that that situation, that condition in which you lived no longer applies. You need to see that you're a devil living in a hell, and you need to see that the trauma that you feared is no longer here. So I invite you out of your hell into paradise, because stuck as you are and devil-like active as you are, cluttering the cage of your prison with all the flares and rushes of emotions as you are, you essentially are an angel which I have convicted to imprisonment because I refuse to look under the carpet into the well of oblivion where I locked you up at the moment that I made you into a reflex. So that is where you then transform this level of dying by reflex to the rebirth of the angel, and that is essentially described in Dante Alighieri, the story of Inferno, that you then need to go into the hell. You need to pass first the charge of the defensive layer of that locked away memory, and it's much easier if you bypass that layer by realizing that you have different layers in consciousness, from the consciousness, the beta waves, to the body, alpha waves, to the organs, the theta waves, to the cells, the delta waves, likewise from the choice to the in the conscious, to the decision in the subconscious, and the conviction in the unconscious. You have the reflex in the out-of-conscious. If you can immediately identify that in the universe everything is possible, that in the universe the devil is simply an angel which has been fallen into the level of unconscious, once you approach it from that level of the out-of-conscious, then that reflex is immediately appreciated for what it was at the moment that it was started, then it immediately realizes that the charge around it is unnecessary because the conditions around it don't exist. And then the gate of hell opens up and out steps the angel, because it is simply a reflex which is no longer required, is no longer relevant, no longer in control, no longer active. at the subrationality, suddenly realizes that that situation is no longer existing. It is no longer necessary. The ancestors, which was doing something, realizes that actually that is totally inappropriate in the now and the here. And as a result, the dying by reflex becomes not just a living by reflex, but actually by turning the devil into the angel, and the trauma becomes experience, and the memory becomes wisdom. And that is the mirroring of Narcissus, where everything is the wrong way around. By crossing that boundary, everything goes back, it mirrors the other way around. And that's why I like that metaphor of Narcissus so well, and the understanding of hell as the prison so well, because when you cross the boundary, then you can see that what is plus on the one side is minus on the other side. So if the devil is negative on the one side, you cross the boundary, and then the negative becomes positive. The devil becomes the angel. And all you have to do is repolarize that boundary. And as I mentioned before, by our decisions, we create a boundary. By polarization, we create and define a boundary. By having created a boundary, we created a conviction, a little hell. And everything that's locked up in that little hell is then a reflex pattern associated with that. And that brings us to the end of the story. The dying by reflex takes place when we have dysfunctional reflexes backfiring within us, and they wreck what you do, they wreck your interaction with others, they wreck your relationship with humanity, they wreck your relationship to Earth, because in whatever situation there you are in, that biased belief turns what you see around to a very limited range of perception. You can only see it through that frequency range, with the red glasses, the pink glasses, or whatever glasses on your nose. You can see things darkly or whatever, because with that conviction, that is the limitation in your perception from the perspective of that reflex. And that reflex was created to deal with the specific life experience at that time. And so all you need to do is go into that life experience and realize you survived it. That situation no longer exists. You can let it go. You can let the devil go, and then the devil takes wing, becomes an angel, and it no longer interferes with your life. It no longer interferes with your body, creating disease. It no longer interferes with your relationships, creating wars. And it no longer interferes with your realization of reality. You suddenly open to your capacity to being a creator in creation, because you're no longer caught up with suppressing the destructive part. You're no longer locked in with trying to survive with unlivable memories within you. So everything turns around. The more of these demons you liberate, the more of these traumatic memories you resolve, the more of the blockages inside of your body are dissolved, the more your energy system in you is free to move around, the more you rejuvenate, the more you can go into longevity, because you stop losing energy in these hells that require energy. That's what these purgatory shieldings do. They require energy. But with the traumatic memory turned around, the devil is released, the purgatory energy comes out, and you can actually feel that. That in your body, certainly, there's this flourish, this flush of energy when that locked-in hologram turns inside out, and your hologram reconnects to the universal hologram, because the blind spot, the denial has been eliminated. And so And that is then the key to going from dying by reflex to living by reflex. It's actually transforming dying by reflex to living by choice. And then when you live by choice, the alchemist called it raising the frequency, you're actually having a level of consciousness which is at the speed of your reflexes. You see your decisions while they are taking place because you've meditated so much that alpha brainwaves is a part of your normal living. You actually see when your convictions come into play and you are able to question and process your convictions at the moment that they play out. And you can interact with the gods of the Olympus straight away because theta brainwave frequency is part of your life because you have meditated so much. And you can see those convictions come up and you start feeling that it should be like this. And then you say, okay, I know you. You're just a rush of the purgatory veils of my convictions. Now actually come here, turn around and look around. And you can see that what's happening here is actually what's happening here. That's the key of Islam. Just accept that what's happening now here is now here. It is not how it's supposed to be because some reflex or some conviction tells you so. That's where the religions say, if it is happening now and here, it's because it's okay for God. So why should you have an opinion? Or why should you have a conviction which tells otherwise? So tell the conviction otherwise and say, actually what is now here is what is now here, and it's good that you remind me that it could be otherwise. And that also means that in the now here it can be otherwise. So how am I going to go creatively play with this situation now here? Because I'm a creator in creation. And I can turn this situation around into something which has more meaning, which is more healing, which is more loving than what presents itself to me now. And then as a result of doing that so often, the reflexes come to view. You can see that the body already starts doing it, and you can say, I see what you're doing. And yes, this is what we were doing, but actually we're doing it differently now. So you become the rider of the horse, the dragon doesn't gallop away with you, but the dragon follows your intent, the body understands your divinity and manifests that, and through the body you can materialize that. So then, instead of dying by reflex, you're living by choice. And living by choice means that you choose what your decisions are at that moment. You choose what your convictions are. You'd redefine your convictions at that moment. You choose if you act on your reflexes, yes or no, in that moment. And you choose to decommission or recondition your reflexes as they come up and as they play out. So that means that, again, the alchemists say you need to raise your frequencies, that in raising your frequencies, you are now consciously unconscious. And that's a story in itself. Actually, you in your conscious are connected to your subconscious, which comes from practicing alpha level meditation a lot. You can also become conscious of your unconscious. Again, theta training, wave training. This also comes up when you start to do healing and remote healing and techniques which are associated with that. Reiki and other forms which bring you into the theta brainwave level. And most important, when you can go into the level of death, the coma, the delta brainwaves, is where you then realize that in living, you're living at the edge of dead, all being dead all the time. Islam calls that the at the edge between heaven and hell as a sharp as the sharp edge of the sword. It's actually a quantum leap, sharp, because it is by your decision that you decide if you're living hell or if you're living heaven. That's what the Project Planting Paradise is about. If you decide that you live by reflex, then you live in hell. If you decide that the reflex needs to serve you, and another reflex at that time is better, and if you cannot transform the reflex, you eliminate it and make a new reflex. And yes, when you decommission a reflex, it feels like cutting in your own flesh if you are living by reflex. But if you are living at a higher level of consciousness, then the reflex is just an agent acting for you. Let's put it differently. You are the Lucifer, the master of the devils in hell, because you're the enlightened angel, because you're a cosmic creator, you're a divine being, you're radiating light, you're operating by light, and your devils don't operate in the dark, in the out of consciousness, but your reflexes, your devils, operate for the light, and they are part of the universe and universal being, and that is done by releasing the devils from their hell and resolving everywhere where you feel separated, alienated from reality. And by knowing how to do it in you, others can, through you, experience how they can do it in themselves. And that is where you and everybody else can become an enlightened being, because everybody simply realizes that we are all part of this universal domain of creation. And yes, we materialize it. And yes, we manifest it, and yes, we act on it, but we always have a choice at every level of our being. And that is then the key to living by choice instead of living by reflex, and certainly a good alternative for dying by reflex. So I'll leave the story at that, because that is the essence of this story. Choose to live by choice, by being conscious of everything that you also delegated to the subconscious, the unconscious, and the out-of-conscious. Always question your decision. Then you are also free to accept the decisions of others, because in their life, in their being, that's what they are evidently trying to explore. Likewise, accept the convictions of others, because just like you created convictions and held on to your convictions, they are doing that for themselves and exploring what they ever wanted to explore. So you don't have to have a conviction about their conviction. Your conviction is your conviction, and if you don't like it, you change it. Their conviction is not for you to change, that's for them to live out and experience, learn from. Because that's what freedom of choice is about. You learn from the decisions to be a creator in creation, because you also need to learn about destruction, and self-destruction is part of that learning. So then you also realize that your reflexes are what you created to act for you, and you can leave that in the dark and be unconscious, out of conscious reflex action. But when you start to become aware of it, the dark becomes light again. First, it is like something flitting in the shadows. And then it is something of which you see the shadow. And then you look into the shadow and see that what you saw is just a shadow, but it's just an echo of something that you decided long ago. And then you become conscious of your subconscious, your unconscious, and your out-of-conscious, and your light shines into the dark, which means that the dark shines light. And then life is very different. Enjoy it.